to tell you the Easter story from this morning. And so I would ask, as we read this passage from Luke, that you stand, if you're able, out of respect for the gospel. It begins at the first verse of chapter 24. Now, we're reading from the NRSV. What is in your bulletin is the CEB, and we're not exactly sure why Miss Dolly decided to print that translation. But he's preaching from, and I'm reading from, the NRSV. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and then he went home amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Sometimes I do think to myself, maybe I should just ask Briscoe what the text is all about, and that'll make preparing the sermon a lot easier. Because this is kind of a celebration. It's an exciting day in the life of the church. It's the day that defines our belief and distinguishes our faith and forms the foundation for what we believe. But perhaps I don't think that we can overstate the importance of this Easter celebration, but perhaps it's best summed up in the children's poem, "Roses are red, violets are bluish. If it weren't for Easter, we'd all be Jewish." That's a pretty bad pastor's joke, but I wanted to tell it anyways, and I did steal it from someone else, so just know that that's been told in other churches before. So there you go. But Easter is the day that we get to gather together to proclaim the truth that he is not here. He has risen. And we heard the story this morning of the empty tomb, that the women were the first ones to show up. They'd come to take care of all the necessary tasks for the day. And we talked a little bit more about that at the sunrise service for those of you who are doubling up this morning. But when they showed up at the tomb, the body was not there. It was not where they expected it to be. A little bit like they had misplaced or maybe even lost the body of Jesus. And any time you misplace or lose something, there's kind of a sinking feeling that hits the pit of your stomach. And believe it or not, I have misplaced a thing or two before in my own life. I remember one time I needed to find my passport. And so we in our apartment have a safe, and we keep all of our most important documents in this safe, and then somewhere else we got a key to this safe. And so one day, the day that I needed my passport, I went to find the key to the safe that holds all of our most important documents, and it wasn't where I left it. So I proceeded to turn our apartment upside down, inside out. I looked everywhere for those keys. Have you ever been there where you lost something super important and you would just look anywhere for it? I remember just thinking to myself, we don't live in a giant apartment. I mean, I gotta be able to find these keys somewhere. How hard could it be? And I knew I was approaching a dangerous combination of desperate and overdramatic when I found myself standing on the kitchen counter thinking, maybe if I just had a different perspective, I'd be able to find these keys. That's not how I found them, but I did find them at the end of the day. It's still a scary feeling, though, to think that you have lost or misplaced something of great value. And I can't even imagine what it must have been like to be the women that Easter morning to show up at the empty tomb and think, uh-oh, we've lost the body of Jesus. I mean, losing your keys, that's one thing, but losing the body of Jesus, that's a whole other level. And so I would expect the women to be freaking out the way I did, you know, like checking under Jesus' linens they left behind, standing on top of boulders, thinking, where could this body be? But that's just not how the women reacted. The scripture that we read said that they were perplexed about it. The Common English Bible would say that they didn't know what to make of the situation. And it's in the middle of all of this confusion that two angels show up and ask the question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And so the first few times that I read that question, I didn't know quite what to make of it. And if I were the women, I probably would have responded with maybe a snarky or sarcastic answer, something like, I'm not looking for the living among the dead, I'm looking for a dead body in a tomb where it's supposed to be. But maybe the angels were asking something else. Maybe the question wasn't the way it seemed to me the first time I read it. Maybe another way to ask the question would be to say, why are you looking for Jesus when you know somewhere in your heart that he's not going to be here? And maybe that's why the women weren't searching high and low for the body of Jesus. Maybe somewhere in their hearts, he knew he wasn't supposed to be there. I think if we're going to ask this question for ourselves today, why do you look for the living among the dead? We can ask it this way. Why do you look for love and fulfillment and joy where you know you're only going to find hate and despair and emptiness? You say you're looking for Jesus, but you aren't looking where he said he was going to be. And the great message that we get to proclaim at Easter is that we no longer have to look for our salvation among the dead. He is risen. We no longer have to put our stock in things that won't last. He is risen. We no longer have to hope in things that will fade away. He is risen. Easter is about looking for life in the only one who has conquered the grave, the only one who offers abundant life. But too often we find ourselves looking for life in all the wrong places. We want to find Jesus, but we aren't looking where he said he would be. And sometimes I think we don't find Jesus because we're really just aimlessly wandering. We aren't intentionally looking among the dead, per se, but we find ourselves there anyways because we don't have a clear direction. We don't have a clear goal. It was thinking about looking among the dead and just wandering around that I thought about Christmas shopping. I'm not a good gift buyer. I'm not a good gift receiver either. I'm just not good at gifts. But I still do love my wife, and I figured I should get her something for her Easter stocking. And so there was a day in December where I found myself with a night off, and so I was able to go around. I think I just said Easter stocking. a mint Christmas stocking, but that's where we're looking. So that's why in December I was looking for the gifts. And so I found myself, I had a free night, I was able to sneak out, and I went to the store, and I went to Target. My wife can always find something that she likes at Target, so I figured, why shouldn't I be able to find something that she likes at Target? And then I spent probably an hour walking up and down every aisle. I think I took 3 or 4 laps around the store looking for anything, but not getting much. And that's because I was just wandering around. I had no idea what I was going in there to get. I had no direction or no goal. Perhaps the reason that you find yourself wandering is that you have no direction. Perhaps you're looking for life in the wrong places because you don't know what you're looking for. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? We want to find Jesus, but we aren't looking where he said he would be. And sometimes I think we can't find Jesus because we're deliberately looking in the wrong place. I think sometimes we know Jesus would call us to have integrity, but we choose dishonesty. We know that Jesus would call us to love, but we choose to put others down. And we choose to take the easy way out when we know that Jesus would call us to bear our cross. It's as if we see the yellow caution tape in front of us warning us that that's not a place to go, but we lift up that caution tape anyway and walk inside. But before we know it, we're surrounded by the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time. Perhaps you're looking for life in all the wrong places because you're deliberately choosing to go where you know Jesus is not. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Well, don't worry, the women that morning didn't answer the question either. I think the angels bailed them out and kept on saying, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember what he told you? And it's with this phrase that the women have hope. See, they went to the tomb that morning, and they were grieving. They were hurting. They had just lost someone they loved. But in the angel's words, they were able to find hope, because the only way to move from looking among the dead to the living is through the resurrection. Jesus is risen. But the only command they're given that morning is to remember. And that seems a little bit like a strange command given the circumstances to me. But I think as humans, we have a tendency to forget things. We forget what our parents tell us. We forget what our teachers tell us. We forget what our bosses or our friends tell us. I'm not even going to mention that we forget what our preachers tell us. But there are some things in life that are just too important to forget. And so as Christians, we have certain rituals and certain practices that form and transform our heart and our mind to help us remember what Christ has done for us. I think it's incredible the way that God can work through our memory if we simply reflect and remember how God has been faithful and how God has loved us through our life. One night earlier this week, I was working on this sermon, believe it or not, and I was getting a little bit thirsty, so I went over to the fridge, and I pulled out a bottle of grape juice, and I poured myself a glass, and I sat down back at my notes, and I saw the word remember. And then I took a sip of grape juice, and I did remember. All the times that I had taken communion before. All the times that I had been in worship so many times and heard the words of Jesus making with us a new covenant. And there's some rituals that we have put in place as Christians that help us remember. I haven't always loved these rituals. I used to think that they might have been a little bit dull or maybe even boring or monotonous and not with much meaning. How wrong I was about these things. Because that night when I poured myself a glass of grape juice and I tasted it, I remembered. See, over the years, I had internalized that message that Jesus had given us. And so the physical action of tasting the grape juice helped me to remember all the times, all the thoughts, all the feelings, all the emotions that I had experienced before in worship. It's through the sacrament of communion that we're able to remember all the times we've met God at the table before. And there are other rituals that we have in worship that have the same effect every week. Already this morning, we said the Apostles' Creed. When Royce was praying about the Lord's Prayer, she encouraged us all to remember, and so can each and every line and word. And if you were a little bit cynical, you might come in here and think, why are all these people saying everything in unison? They must not have any meaning behind that. It must not be authentic. But on the other hand, if you've ever been at the end of your rope and not been able to think of the right words to say to God, but you just had to pray something, you might have been grateful for all those years of saying the Lord's Prayer, knowing the words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory." That might be what helps you hang on and might give you the strength to carry on. The angels told the women that morning, "Remember what Jesus told you?" And I believe that when they did, the words of Jesus echoed in their ears and began to resonate in their hearts. Do you remember the words that Jesus has told you before? Do you remember a time in your life when you've experienced the power of the resurrection? I think it's this power that allows us to move from looking among the living to looking among the dead to the land of the living and the resurrection. I'm reminded of a friend years ago, and she went off to college. And as many people do, when she arrived, she found herself running into questions. She was no longer at home, no longer in her home church, but out on her own, and began wrestling with God. And so she started studying and found that she ran into even more questions and less answers than she thought she would get. And I went out and had coffee with her one time, and she was talking to me about wrestling with God, but I'll never forget what she said. That she'll always be able to remember the experience that she has had with Jesus. And I believe this is what gave her the strength to continue on in her faith. And she actually went to theology school. She became a chaplain, but I think it's the same remembering that gives us all the strength to continue on in our faith. And so Easter is the day that defines us as Christians. We celebrate the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. He's conquered sin and death. And because of that, we can find life. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus has promised us life. He is risen. Remember? In the name of the Father and the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen.